today on Real Radio.
The things that are going on in your life that are most difficult for you, the things that you dislike, I believe God is going to turn those things around for the greatest working of His Spirit's power in your life. Out of difficulty brings faith. God delivers us through, not out of, through great problems.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What the Gospel Means to You, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering chapter 1, verses 11 through 24 today. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, we learned what God's gospel of grace meant to the Apostle Paul. Now, in verse 11 through 24, we're shown that prior to Paul's conversion to Christianity, he was a man who excelled in religion and tradition, and that he had a real zeal for persecuting the Christians. After his conversion, Paul equates his religious fervor outside of Christ as meaningless and thought himself to be unworthy of a true relationship with God. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the gospel is a treaty of divine patience. God is patient in pursuing us, for He has a divine vision for our lives, and it pleases Him to call us to come to grace. And Paul, knowing this, dedicated his new life to fulfill God's plan. And now, continuing in his lesson called What the Gospel Means to You, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This is amazing. Jesus, according to Paul, it is Jesus who taught Paul all about the gospel. So, how did that happen? Well, we're going to find out in a moment. But isn't that tremendous? You see, the reason why Paul states this is because the Judaizers of the region of Galatia, they were saying that Paul was making up a gospel. That he was making up this thing about grace. And so they began to attack him. They began to say, you don't need to read Paul's notes and you don't need to hear him speak. I got news for you. You think this is old news? This is new news. This is right now. Not far from here is the Claremont School of Theology. That's a strange place. The Jesus Seminar people. They're going to be producing their own Bible. And they're going to tell you what verses of the Bible are really biblical. And I've seen portions of this. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's heresy. Look, I don't want to be in their shoes on Judgment Day, I'll tell you that. But Paul's writings, you don't need to read Paul. Yeah. Paul was a guy back then. Yeah, he's pretty important back then, but the things that he said, they're archaic now. They're old. Who needs them? Just as it was 2,000 years ago, so it is now. People are trying to remove the authorship of the man who wrote the bulk of the New Testament under the direction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit Himself. Just cut it right out and not read it. Now, you can't do that. Well, you can do it, but you'll suffer the consequences for it. It's amazing. The second point we see this morning is in verses 13 to 14, and that is the gospel. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? Well, it's a treaty of divine patience. Oh, I love this. Verse 13, patience to endure. Listen to what God put up with. Paul says, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, and I tried to destroy it. Well, how did that come about? When did he do that? First attempt, anybody remember? Who was the first martyr? Stephen. Who ordered Stephen's death? Paul. Hey, listen, little insert here. Are you struggling with how wretched you might be? Did you look in the mirror this morning and say, man, I'm a creep? Can God even love me? I want to suggest to you, and more than that, if I can, drive it into your heart. The very book that you have open on your lap right now was written by a murderer. Think of that. Paul is the one who presided over, he's more guilty than anybody, as he presided over the killing of the first Christian, Stephen. And I got to tell you something. I believe personally, though I cannot prove it, it's just my persuasion. There was a reason, because you know how God doesn't waste anything? There's a reason why the book of Acts tells us that Stephen was stoned to death at the order of Paul the Apostle. Well, he wasn't Paul the Apostle at the time. He was Paul the Stinker, Saul of Tarsus. There's a reason for this. And if you look, if you know anything about Judaism, and if you look at how Stephen dies in the book of Acts, it's glorious. Stephen is there preaching. Jesus is Lord. He's preaching the gospel. Paul shows up with his band of Christian hunters. And they get stones. And I got to tell you, in that part of Jerusalem, there are no round stones. None. They're all sharp like glass. You want to go get some round stones, you got to go down to the Jordan or some other place, but not in Jerusalem. They picked up those stones, and Stephen's preaching. And Paul drops the flag or gives the thumbs up or whatever, and it is amazing. Because they start throwing rocks at Stephen. The Bible says that as he's being stoned, Stephen says, "I see the Son of God seated on the right hand of the Lord in glory." Wait, that's prophet talk. Hey, that's stuff like Jeremiah talked about. That's stuff like Ezekiel spoke of. That's stuff that Isaiah would have said. And you know who knew it in that crowd? Paul. And he probably looked at those stone chuckers and said, "Throw more, throw them faster, throw them harder." So what's the next thing? Stephen falls to his knees. And he says, "Father, don't lay this to their account. Don't charge this to their account. Father, forgive them." The second thing, not only did Paul hear Stephen talk about things that were exclusively of the prophets, but now he hears something of deep assurance that a man who's dying and speaks to as intercession to the Father, "Father, as these guys," basically what he's saying is, "as these guys are murdering me right now, it's no problem. Just make sure that you don't hold this against them." That drove Paul crazy. Because that's what Judaism was supposed to provide for you. Forgiveness and a right standing with God. And Paul didn't have it. What's the third thing? The third thing's the best thing. The third thing is how you and I want to go. It says that he fell asleep. Who fell asleep? Stephen fell asleep. With rocks hitting his head? No. It's kind of a play on words here. Stephen was stoned to death, but the Bible writes his death as though he had just fallen asleep. And that had to drive Paul nuts. Because Stephen died in great, deep peace and comfort. And I believe that ate him alive until the meeting of Jesus on the Damascus Road. That's why he was able to respond so quickly. "What would you have me to do, Lord? I want to preach like that. I want to see visions like that. I want to be able to forgive people like that. I want to know something about grace. I want to die like that." I believe God uses everything. And is not God using things in your life right now? Think about it. Quite frankly, I believe this. The things that are going on in your life that are most, difficult for you, the things that you dislike, I believe God is going to turn those things around for the greatest working of His Spirit's power in your life. Out of difficulty brings faith. God delivers us through, not out of, through great problems. That's the only way we can really believe in the Bible. Why do people make fun of us? Because we represent a God who promises to deliver. Oh, you Christians. That's right. Hey, if somebody does that to you, don't get upset with them. To be honest with you, if you could really read their heart and mind, they're poking at you to see if there's any flaw of your God that they can now accuse. That's why people attack Christians, and so they should. Many people are looking for something to believe in. Oh, here he comes carrying his Bible. What do you do when somebody says that? "Oh, don't say that to me. You're hurting me." No, pick it up and say, "Hey, yeah, you want to read it? I'll buy you one." "What, are you afraid it's going to bite you? Come on, open it up. Come on, I dare you. Open it up if you're a man. Open it up. Come on, it's just a book. What are you afraid of?" You'll see them kind of, hey. Tell people that are bugging you, I'm going to pray for you today. You what? Why? Why? Tell them. It's kind of what God did in the life of Stephen toward Paul, isn't it? The Bible says that wherever we go, to those that are being saved, our lives are a great aroma. We smell like roses. To those people who are perishing, that is heading to hell, the Bible says our life is like a smell of death to them. It's amazing. The wonderful gospel. It's not impartial. It's not biased. God died for the sins of the world. But tragically, some people refuse and reject him. And so the Bible says that his patience toward us is enduring. He is his former conduct. He persecuted the church. Also this, his patience pursues us. Look what it says in verse 14. Paul says, I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Quite frankly, and now, of course, Paul knew this now, but trust me, the traditions of your fathers is nothing worthy of your life. Now, if you're going to die for the gospel, then that's a glorious thing, you know? But to give your absolute devotion and attention to the traditions of your fathers, well, what do the fathers believe in? Well, let me just ask you personally, what traditions have you sold out to? Well, we believe in this, this, and this, and this. That's wonderful if it's in the Bible. But listen, there have been wars over tradition. People have been murdered over tradition. The horrible, dark time of the Christian Crusades, which is an oxymoron. Christian Crusades? They weren't Christian Crusades. They were legalistic Crusades. They were religious Crusades, but don't call them Christian. Jesus wasn't in those Crusades. Jesus doesn't murder. He doesn't call us to murder in the name of God. He doesn't call us to put a bandana on our head and shout, God is great, as we, you know, run our tricycles into a building or something, you know, or fly an airplane into a high rise. What is that? That's nuts. Satanic. Our God says that he wants living sacrifices. And watch, it's living sacrifices. You say, well, you know, that's all there are kind of sacrifices there are. It's living. You throw them off a cliff. No. That's what the Aztecs did. They threw people off the cliff. You know, if you ever go to Zion National Park in Utah, there's a place there in Zion National Park called the Great White Throne. Have you ever been there? You want to know why it was called the Great White Throne? They'll tell you if you go there. It's about 1,800 feet straight down on a white cliff. Because the Indians that lived in the area would take their firstborn child and they would throw their child over the cliff and dedicate it to the gods. And it was called when that Baptist missionary came through there with his two sons, they called it, when he saw what was going on, he called it the Great White Throne. It was final judgment for those poor people. God is not into sacrifices that die. God says, you come to me, be a living sacrifice. I want you to live. The word of God is to live, and it's to be loved by God and to love other people. Verses 15 and 16 teach us that it is a treaty of divine vision. God has a purpose for our lives. It says in verse 15 that it pleased God who separated me, Paul says, from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Can you take out your pen and highlight the word pleased? It pleased God. It made him glad. God was glad when he separated us from our mother's womb. Isn't that something? In other words, God knows everything about your life, past, present, and future. And listen, for those of you who are Christians, he has given you a life to live. It's almost as though, you know, this is kind of a goofy analogy, but I don't have anything else in my mind. But in the laboratory where I used to work, when we were dealing with things that were very toxic or very dangerous, it would be in a chamber, and if we were going to work on it, we would come into the room, and we would come up, we'd pull up our chair and sit down, and we would stick our hands into these gloves that were sealed, and we would work on that disease or whatever it was, with our hands and arms inside those gloves. Have you ever seen what I'm talking about? Look at it this way. The works that God has created for your life, your very existence that God has created, is as it were those gloves. At some point in time, you come along in your life, in your time zone, in your world, and you reach into those gloves, and now you are fulfilling what God has created for you. And those gloves were made to fit. In fact, on Wednesday nights, we've been studying about some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What gift do you have given you by the Holy Spirit? If you don't know, you need to find out, because what you want to do, your life won't feel exactly right as a Christian until you put your hands into those gloves, so to speak, until you enter into these things that God has for you. He has a vision, he has a purpose for your life. And it is incumbent upon you and I to find out, God, why am I born? Why am I saved? Why am I here? That to me is one of the most wonderful, if not the greatest, thing in Christianity once we're saved is, Lord, now why am I here? And God, the reason why? I hope you pray like this. God, please, you saved me. You gave me life for a reason. Whatever it is, cause me to live it to the fullest. I'm telling you, you have to put your helmet on if you pray like that. And put your seatbelt. It's going to be an awesome ride. But if you piddle around and goof off with it, you'll miss it. And don't do that. He's got a purpose for us. Paul says, God separated me from my mother's womb. God's got a purpose. That's very exciting. Another consideration is this, that it's a divine plan. He says in verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Gentiles, the non-believers of the world, the non-Jews who don't believe. Some of your Bibles put heathen. You know, that's a pretty radical word. Heathen means simply an unbelieving non-Jew. A pagan was also the word. Gentiles, that's most of us. I see a couple of you in here that have Jewish background. Outside of you guys, it's speaking about us, Gentile, non-Jew types. He says, listen, God's desire, his plan for my life is that he would send forth his son in me to the unbelieving world to preach. Say, well, that's great, Jack, for you and Paul and Billy Graham and Chuck Smith and all the other pastors. That's great for you guys. Well, wait. There's a message that is being preached that's far louder than any sermon any of us could ever preach. And that's how you and I live. How are we behind the scenes? How are we outside of here? It's really easy to be sweet for an hour and a half, even though some of you are struggling with it. You know, it's... When's it going to end? What's the deal? Oh, just be sweet. But it's how we live. The message I preach to my kids by not what I say, it's how I live. And I'll be the first to tell you, we have a Christian home, but you know what? I am not perfect. I am flawed galore. And my girls are great. They'll just let me know it. But the message that we live in front of people is a much greater message that's being learned and received than what we ever say. God's got a plan for us, and he wants to make a difference with our lives. And I tell you, the older I get, the better I see that everything that's gone on in my life in the past has been to affect me right now personally, here now, and it's really given me confidence regarding the future. What do I mean? I've been a Christian now since 1977. And I've got to tell you that I do love the Lord. I've been in the Bible ever since that day, June 20th, 1977, Monday night. But I got to tell you, now that I'm an older Christian, not so much age, I'm talking older in the Lord. I look back now and I don't see my past like I used to see it. I used to see my past as a Christian, really, I'd get so bummed. I would be doing fine, and then I think about my past. Oh, God, please forgive me of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Even though it happened 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago, God, forgive me. Well, he has forgiven me. But the moment I think about it, I just gravitate to it. And though I would never want to embrace it again, I stand there like a kid in a toy store and I look at it and I just look at that past life of mine and I just go, that was horrible. That was terrible. How sick was I? That's disgusting. And you look at it, but look, it's not you anymore, is it? It's not what you want. It's not who you are. So finally, after so many years of being a Christian, I realized, now, wait a minute. If I read my Bible right, no man is ever required of, nor is it even humanly possible for a human to forget their past. Did you know that? Can't do it. That's why, remember when Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind. You know what that word means? Keep forgetting. Did you hear that? You've got to keep forgetting it. If somebody in the morning, you know, you roll over and there he is or there she is and they tell you, wow, look at you. You look like, you know, and you've always been like this. And wait a minute. That's kind of what like our sins do to us. Hey, man. Well, wait. Oh, wait, I'm saved now. I'm not me. I'm the new me. The old Jack's dead. Now when I look back at my past, I know that I cannot forget. Only God can forget. That's a divine attribute. He says, I will take your sins and I will what? Remember them no more. Only God can do that. That's, by the way, the truth and the reality of why you and I have to pick up our cross daily. Remember when somebody hurt your feelings? They hurt you, didn't they? How many times do you have to forgive them? Every day. Right? You may be doing fine all week long and then they show up on Friday. There they are. What do you have to do right then and there? Lord, help me to forgive him right now. Lord, that's picking up your cross because you and I do not have the attribute to forget. We have to work at forgetting. God says, concerning your sin, I don't remember them anymore. So stop reminding me. There's victory in Jesus. There's a divine plan. And our plan, or God's plan for our lives, takes the things of our past and only God can convert them into a meaningful, purposeful motivator for us to continue now in Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What the Gospel Means to You. Thanks for listening today, and our hope is that you come to Christ by accepting His divine gospel and His divine plan for your life. What the Gospel Means to You is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not works, should any of us boast. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper. And one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the real-life devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. By the way, if you have a question about anything you might have heard on the radio today, head over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit the Contact tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit the Contact tab. We would love to put you in contact with somebody who can help you out with your question. It's not a problem at all. Just get a hold of us, hit the Contact tab, at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.